You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates. And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us for the very first time, a special welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I actually am delighted that you're here. And I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. There are a couple of things you need to know about that if this is your first time, you don't know about. So go over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It comes out in electronic format. It's called the K-Files E-Zine, and takes about 10 seconds or so to subscribe. And it's truly no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Now, speaking of subscribing and unsubscribing, I want to point out something that is important for you to understand. Virtually everything we do here at the Kevin Smith Show is yours free. Okay? Almost everything we do is free. You get to listen to the show for free, the website is free, the newsletter is free. Lots and lots and lots of what we do is free. We have a podcast that we put out, one per week, that's free. All right? Now, in addition to that, we have something called the members area. Now, that's where there are some little extra goodies. All right? Some people like to be able to download every show. Not just one podcast per week, but every show. Well, that's the place where you go. You go to the members area. And it isn't free. Everything is free. You get to hear all the shows. But then we archive them as MP3 files in the members area. And you can go in there and download all the shows during the week. All right? And we also have a monthly magazine, and once a month we have a chat. We have a chat room in there, but once a month we have a chat where I go in the chat room with you, and I will answer whatever questions and just hang out and chit-chat with you. And sometimes along the way we will be bringing some of our guests into the chat room. So that's what that's all about. I want to point out, because we had one person that subscribed and then almost immediately unsubscribed to the members area, and the reason was that we didn't do things like they do over at, and the person named two other radio shows. Well, you don't do it, you know, at that radio show they do it this way, at this radio show they do it that way, so I don't, you know, you don't do it that way. Okay, well, that's fine. And I'm not critical of that. I understand that. You know, everybody's got their preferences. I fully understand that. But please do understand that each and every radio show, they do things the way they do because of factors and technologies concurrent with them. And so do we. All right. So they've got their way. We've got our way. And I hope you like it. Most people do. They stay with us. We'll be back with Walter Bosley right after this. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Well, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. And welcome back. As I said, my guest is Walter Bosley. He's been with us before, and I would say needs no introduction, but the fact is we have a lot of new listeners, Walter. So let me tell them that you are formerly a counterintelligence specialist with the FBI and a special agent with the Air Force Office of Special Operations, Special Investigations. And these days you travel the world and investigate all kinds of strange and unexplained phenomena. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always good to be here.
And you also need to know, folks, that he is an author and a publisher. And I think the last time you were with us, yeah, it was the last time you were with us. We talked about a novel that you had written and never published.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason you had never published it is that a big reason was that you had been told, don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clear direction. Do not do this.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is since I wrote that, there's been some synchronicities with things that are allegedly associated with Mars, with UFOs, with the whole gamut of things. So, of course, it's easy for me to say now. There's no way I can prove it. We can't all go back in a time machine and, have me point to and go, see, I told you. But you just have to trust me.
Well, you also shared with us a lot of information about these holes that have been discovered on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, when we first talked, though, in fact, I think the very first show you did with us, we talked about ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, let me carry you back in time. I was at the world premiere of a movie called Fast Walkers. Was in Sholo, Arizona, and it is spelled exactly as it sounds, Sholo, Arizona.
That's been over a year ago now, hasn't it?
It has. And this guy comes up to me and introduces himself, hands me a card, and we started to talk, and he was quite interesting, and we walked outside of the theater and talked outside for a while. It was Walter Bosley. And he had shared with me information about this research he was doing regarding ley lines. And so you came on the show, we talked about it, and in fact you talked to us about the ley lines and the carousel at Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland, the original Magic mm-hmm. Kingdom.
So we've sort of come full circle because there's been you've discovered a lot of new stuff, and so we're back to talk about ley lines again. Now, one of the things that happens here on this show is education. We do not all know everything. We do have a few folks out there, I'm quite certain, who think they know everything. And you run into these folks sometimes. But we do not all know everything. And by talking and listening, we learn. And by questioning, we learn. And I'm looking forward to this tonight, Walter. I'm looking forward to learning more about these ley lines. I have called them energy veins in the earth.
And that's more accurate to what we're talking about these days when we talk about ley lines. There is a distinct difference that needs to be defined. The actual original definition is part and parcel of, the book that Greg Bishop and I are just about completed with, called Latitude 33, Keys to the Kingdom, which refers to, it goes into all the Disneyland research we're going to talk about, and I have talked about. But just for the listeners, ley lines actually are hypothetical alignments of ancient monuments and megaliths, suggested in 1921 by Alfred Watkins, the author of The Old Straight Track. Now, these are lines that don't have anything to do necessarily with the energy that we talk about, the earth energy. What they are were actual straight lines across miles of landscape where, just as I said, the ancient sites, which many church cathedrals were built on during the medieval era, but also with the megalithic ruins like Stonehenge and things like that, were built in these straight alignments. The critics say that you can just You know, take the map of all these sites and draw whatever straight lines you want in between them. And yes, you can. That's true. But if you read Watkins' book, he tried to very carefully point out which ones he felt were qualified as significant. Or at least to earn the definition, the name of ley line, and which ones weren't. And what we're talking about, like what you were saying, the energy veins or the earth veins or earth energy lines, these are related to mass cons, which mass con is a mass concentration, which is a region of a planet's or moon's crust containing a large positive gravitational anomaly. Now, what's interesting with these mass cons are they tend to be connected by what are called landfold lines. And the landfold lines are where the natural, if the continents were puzzles, okay, the chunks of land basically bordered by these various landfold lines would be the pieces. And this is how they fit together as a puzzle. Now, this is where the energy comes in, because the energy, again, allegedly, runs through these landfolds. And where they intersect are called nodal points, or in some cases are on mass cons or near mass cons, or mass cons tend to be near where these intersections are. In our times, essentially what we call the New Age era, it's really the New Agers that have, you know, called these, like what you very deftly called energy veins. We've come to use the term interchangeably. We call what should be energy veins, we call those ley lines. I do it too. Most people do. But there is a difference, and it's very important to know that.
Okay. Now, the ley lines that you've been researching,
yes,
are of the energy sort.
Yes.
All right. Last night on this show, my guest was Jeff Harvey. I know you know Jeff.
Yes.
And he mentioned you in reference to the remote viewing that we were talking about last night.
Yes.
In talking with him last night, he mentioned that there is this layer that's kind of a photon layer that exists in the universe, kind of a photon sheet. And so you can have some large event like a star explosion or something like that that creates a disturbance in that photon sheet, and we get a ripple effect. It can be, you know, millions and millions and millions of light years away, but it still has an impact on us. Because we get that ripple effect through that photon layer. And would something like that cause either an amplification or a dampening of the energy in the ley lines?
Well, not being a techno guy, Jeff's more of a techno geek guy than I am. He knows a lot more about that stuff than I do, as does Seshari. But I would say, from a layman's understanding, I would think that it would, my guess would be that it would amplify, because I'm guessing energy is coming off of what you're describing and, adding to. However, not being a science guy, it could very well lessen it. I don't know, but I would definitely agree that it's going to have some effect.
Yeah, I think that... I mean, my layman's interpretation of it would be that that would just increase pressure on the Earth physically, and that this sort of squeezing of the Earth would amplify whatever pressures or energies are in it.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
All right. Now, these ley lines, can they be seen with the naked eye?
That's a good question. Generally, no. However, as soon as I say that, I'm sure that somebody can point to some device or will invent some device that, will claim to be able to provide a visual model of them, if not, an actual physical reading of them. In fact, I believe Jeff might be working on, he has mentioned something similar to that.
Yeah, he mentioned that last night, something that would provide a 3D modeling of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the quintessential end user. I'm more like, there's another associate of ours, Craig Googles, who has made some interesting explorations into ancient ruins in Central America, and he's working on some aspects of this project with us. And, I would like to, with a little humor, say that Craig and I are kind of like the Woodrow McCall and Gus McCrae riding the range of these phenomena. We just want to kind of go ride the range of it and experience it and, see new and strange things, whereas some of the other folks like Sesh and Jeff, they're more the technical guys who really, that turns them on, is to really dig into the technical side of it.
Well, why are ley lines important, Walter? I mean, why should anybody really give, any notice at all? Why are they important?
Well, because they absolutely, I believe, affect our reality. Jacques Vallée said, which was pointed out to me by Greg Bishop a month or so back when Jacques Vallée was recently on another very popular radio show, that he made an allusion that went ignored, and that allusion was a comment that our reality is a subset of something larger. And that's quite a fascinating statement in itself, and when you consider that Mr. Vallée really has avoided the public where these subjects are concerned for years, and, there he is in such a forum, and he makes a statement like that, and it goes ignored, it just, I have to wonder. But what he's saying is connected to what I'm talking about. These lines, these energy lines, this energy coursing through this planet like in this way, they, in some cases, if they don't form, they energize the borders between dimensions, potentially. So depending upon where you're at in proximity to these lines or these mascons or these these nodal intersection points, really can affect not only your perception of physical reality around you, it can affect your own senses, your own body, and it can actually maybe open you up to some pretty unexpected, amazing experiences.
Such as?
Well, the traditional experiences, for instance, we've all heard stories of the devil at the crossroads, okay, and all these strange things. That comes from actual reports throughout history of people talking about strange beings and strange phenomena occurring at the intersections of the old ley lines. Now, this is where possibly the ley line of Alfred Watkins' work and the energy vein that we're, mostly talking about, this could be where there is some type of overlap in or connection between the two, because the intersections I'm talking about are the intersections of what they call the old straight tracks, as the title of Watkins' book describes, where that people would just use to go from town to town, and where they intersected, oddly enough, there were strange things and people that would be encountered there. Now, that suggests that there's some type of energy running through there, but maybe not. Remember, the energy veins that we're talking about, the natural ones, they have energy running through them. That doesn't mean that the energy only exists at those lines. It just means it would be strongest there. The energy actually spreads all over the Earth. So it could be that that energy from the natural lines somehow might be drawn to these straight tracks, and that's what the megalithic sites might have been. That's what the ancient temples might have been, were as, what's the word for it, a crystallization point that would draw the energy from their natural courses, like diverting a stream, bringing it into places like Stonehenge, which would then somehow redistribute it. and maybe it distributed it along these old straight tracks. So the old straight tracks themselves were not necessarily, the origin of them was not the energy, but they might have been used as such, or admittedly, the people might have started using the pathway of this diverted stream of energy, you know, as the pathways that they use. But this is where these legends come from, and these are some of the associations, and these are some of the things you could encounter at the intersections if you know where they are.
Well, it's not a legend that Walt Disney wanted to find the happiest place on Earth and employed some engineers from, as a matter of fact, MIT, I believe.
SRI.
Stanford SRI.
Yeah.
So he employs engineers from SRI mm-hmm. to go out and find the happiest place on Earth so that he could build the Magic Kingdom, if you will. You know what? Walt Disney spent a lot of money sort of discovering and then using ley lines, because he built the Disneyland right over the intersection of some ley lines, and as you told us in that first show, mm-hmm. built the carousel right over the intersection itself.
Well, that's exactly what was done, except that there's an individual who might be the one actually responsible for the placing of the park over these ley lines, and specifically the carousel. And that's a gentleman named C.V. Wood.
And who is that?
C.V. Wood was an aerospace engineer from Texas who was working for the Stanford Research Institute at the time, in the 50s, when the Disney brothers went to SRI just to get some basic marketing input, as it were. Not so much marketing, but engineering input. And they were looking for more social engineering kind of information originally, in that they just wanted to find the smartest place to put their park, to put Walt's park. And out of all the places that were suggested, there was Riverside, San Bernardino. There was, I think, briefly San Diego, a couple of other spots. But SRI urged them to buy 160 acres of land, which was all citrus groves, in Anaheim. And this was the spot they urged. This was the spot that Wood recommended. And they were so pleased with the idea, and they liked C.V. Wood's enthusiasm for the project, that they hired him away from SRI. And Walt made him the chief construction engineer of the park, and Wood brought several SRI associates. So you not only had him, you had several of these other SRI guys there, kind of a little think tank, and they went to work for the Disneys to build the park. And the physical layout of the park was basically Wood's assignment.
And so Wood's, an aerospace engineer, must have, I mean, he's working in concert with this project to find the happiest place on Earth.
Yeah.
And SRI is basing that on ley lines. Are these two guys from SRI, to be more accurate?
Well, it was actually more like they based it on, this is a good location because there's going to be some highways built. This is a good location because it's central to the Southern California population. This is a good location because the numbers look good. I believe, and Greg and I propose, that one of them, most likely C.V. Wood himself, was aware of these energy lines running through there and the intersection. And it makes sense because SRI was involved. If you look at their website, and, you know, if anyone's familiar with the whole history of remote viewing and Hal Putoff and all those guys, they came from SRI. That kind of thing came from SRI. SRI was also involved with the development of GPS, the Global Positioning System.
Okay, I hate to cut us off, but I have to, because we are into a break, and I want us to get all of this story. So we'll be back right after this, more with Walter Bosley on the other side of the break.
Never had the struggle to understand just what life's about. When I hold my six string, I close my eyes and I soar. Just have to figure out the secrets of the magic door. I tough, so I huff and I puff and I smooth, so I smile.
We are back. My guest is Walter Bosley, and we're talking about the Magic Kingdom, and we're talking about ley lines, specifically ley lines. You see, Walter, one of the things that I sort of notice happening is a lot of people hear about ley lines or they read about ley lines, and I notice this kind of, this is my characterization of it, but I notice it from email. After I say something about it, or after we've done a show where we talk about it, and it's sort of like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But you're of the opinion that ley lines really play an important role in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they. Tesla knew it. You know, Tesla was going to provide us, tried to provide us with energy that would have been free of cost. Now, the critics and naysayers of free energy, they, you know, they're a bunch of smart-ass guys who, you know, put pictures on their websites of an extension cord with one end plugged into the other, ha, 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 you know, whatever. Yeah. That's, you know, that's not what we're talking about when we say free energy. You know, the apparatus would have cost you something, and it would, you know, you'd have to keep the apparatus going. But, you know, he knew that you could tap into the earth, and that's a practical application. There's a practical way that this could benefit our lives. But what happened was J.P. Morgan said, where can I put a meter on it? And since Tesla, you know, didn't provide him with a spot where he could meter it, well, you know, Morgan made sure that nobody was interested in Tesla anymore. That's a practical way that these things, you know, could affect our lives. And I do believe that there are people who are using these energy lines that, you know, they kind of keep it on the QT for whatever reason, variety of reasons. But as I said before, our reality being a subset of a larger reality.
Okay. Now, you know, that sounds interesting, subset of a larger reality.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put that in tennis shoes and make it walk. What are you talking about?
Well, take the light spectrum, or the sound spectrum. Let's take the sound spectrum. Now, everybody knows that humans can hear so much on the sound spectrum, and animals can hear a wider range of the spectrum, correct?
Yeah.
We know there's a light spectrum, okay? We can only see so much of it with our naked eye, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we know there's more there.
Yeah.
Okay, so dimensional reality, you know, encompasses sound, light, that encompasses this energy we're talking about. It incorporates everything. So therefore, if we have spectrums, ranges of sound and ranges of light, why not ranges of physical reality? You know, there's some in our times, and, you know, over the last 100 years, scientists have been seriously looking at that, and in recent years, they're seriously embracing the idea that it's very likely a fact, a reality. Now, that is huge in its implications because, wow, here comes a scientific basis or foundation, potentially, to explain some of the strange phenomena that we all talk about on shows like this and other shows in which books are written about and people envision all sorts of amazing things. Suddenly, you know, we stand on the threshold, possibly, of a scientific foundation that this is real. And I believe that these energy lines are part and parcel of this and play a role in being a border, as it were, or in the border between the dimensions.
One of the things that that Jeff talked about, and I've had other guests talk about this,
mm-hmm.
One of the things was that the theory that a lot of people have held that everything, including us,
mm-hmm.
is really frequency based.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that is true, if we are frequency based, and actually I cannot see any possibility of it not being true, that being the case, then ley lines could alter frequency by raising or lowering frequency in its locale.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, then we could either slip into another, I don't know if it's a dimension, but another phase of reality, or things from another phase of reality could slip into ours.
Or farther up and down the line of the spectrum, as it were, yeah. Exactly. And just what you said, look at history. There's evidence that it has. I personally believe that the UFO phenomena has much more to do with that than it does with the traditional ET hypothesis. Not that I don't believe in physical aliens from other planets. Of course I do, but I think what's going on...
You know I don't believe. I don't believe, nor do I disbelieve. I don't think it calls on us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not hammering you. I'm just making a point.
Right.
I think if it's real, it's real, and if it's not, it's not, period. And, you know, you just have to let the data say what it says.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that shakes people up sometimes when I say, well, I don't believe in UFOs. Well, I don't. I don't believe in beer cans either. They just exist.
You accept their reality,
yeah,
as it were. Well, you know where I stand on the UFO thing, and this ties into what we're talking about. Number one, I personally have reason to believe that and accept that about 90% or more of what people are seeing and swearing comes from other worlds, comes from our world, and is something to do with our own human technology. I'll say that again, over 90% of it. And some of that, I think a lot of that, is utilizing the knowledge of this spectrum of reality. I absolutely believe. And then I think of the remaining, whatever, of the remaining 10% I was talking about that people see, I think a great portion of that are actually people from other dimensions or other ends of the spectrum, as opposed to other places in our particular physical frequency, if you'll call it that.
Yeah. Now, to sort of make this a little bit easier for us to get our minds around, let me use the example of light. And you mentioned it a moment ago. But see, folks, we all know that there is light we cannot see with our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You've all been to the doctor and had an x-ray. Well, you know what an x-ray? X-ray is light, but you cannot see it with your eyes. Your eyes are not tuned to that frequency. Ultraviolet. We don't see ultraviolet light with our eyes because our eyes are not tuned to that frequency, and yet we know it exists. Infrared, gamma rays, these are all sources of energy or light that we know exist, and we have instruments that are tuned to the frequency and can see it and actually photograph using that light. But our eyes can't see it. Yet x-rays are around you right now. Ultraviolet is around you right now. Infrared around you right now. But you don't see it. Now, as I understand what you're saying, Walter, these ley lines are something akin to that. It is an energy. It is real. And it's at a frequency that we do not see with our eyes or hear with our ears. All right, now, is it possible, because we know that science was using x-rays long before it became popular knowledge, I guess. We know that science was experimenting with and trying to find ways to photograph gamma rays long before the public knew much about it. Is it possible that scientists have known about and tapped into ways of utilizing this ley line energy? And by utilizing it, I don't mean just, you know, some folks think that all this means is you walk out into the field, stand on a ley line, and have a woo-woo ceremony. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually tapping into that energy and using it technologically. Do you think that science has learned to do that?
Absolutely. And I believe they began to, they learned to do that well over 100 years ago, in as far as our civilization is concerned. It was in the mid-1800s that certain people started really delving into this and started claiming some extraordinary results. And interestingly enough, that was also, you know, about the time that they kind of kept it under wraps, kept it underground, because to really dig out much information about these people is difficult. But it started with the Wilsons and the other gentlemen who were working with the flying machines, the airships of the mid to late 1800s. All of you who know about the Delschau and the great airship mystery, the Delschau art, and the Wilsons, the elusive, mysterious Wilsons, started then. And again, all these names I mentioned, these are just the people we hear that things are available about them. We don't know. I mean, there could be other guys out there who we don't know who the hell they are.
Okay, we have to take a break, Walter. We'll pick up there and continue when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, ley lines, energy around us coursing through the earth, but we don't see it. Yet it's apparently measurable. We'll be back right after this. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. I got to tell you, folks, during the break, I checked the email, and Walter, I already got an email from someone reacting having an allergic reaction to what I said that I don't believe. Look, okay, I'll just address this quickly and we'll move on. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I am not interested in being controlled by anybody's religion, including those who are part of the religion of UFOs.
Thank you.
And religion of science and religion of ley lines. Either they exist and they're real, or it's fiction, and that's what it comes down to. And if it is real, then it is, and you don't have to get up in the morning and say, I believe. How many people, Walter, do you know, how many people did you see today walking across the face of the earth? How many people have you seen walking today?
Just about 90% of the people I saw, well, with cars these days. It's California, too, where I'm at. So I'd say about, 30% of the human beings I saw.
Yeah, lots of them. And even the cars that were riding, they were all experiencing gravity. And I doubt there was anybody walking around oozing belief in gravity.
Or waking up saying, I believe in gravity.
Yeah, it just is. And that's it. Okay, now... The ley lines, I still think it's important for us to translate this into, okay, I'm sitting at home listening to this show right now, and these two guys are talking about ley lines, and that's kind of interesting, but really what difference does that make to me?
That's the beauty of life. It doesn't have to make a bit of difference to you, to anyone, to live what is called the what you would call, the standard life, as far as the going to work, and I'm using in terms of the American life, for example, go to work Monday through Friday, watch your football games on the weekends, just enjoy the company of your friends, have a beer, go to amusement park, those things that the majority of people here do and in other places around the world, or whatever it is, that particular part of the world, whatever the masses do as a routine part of their lives, they don't even have to be aware of the exist, obviously. Many, many people aren't and haven't been, for a long time. And they've gone about their lives and fruitful, wonderful lives, for better or worse. But I think that knowledge of the existence and the locations of these things certainly enhance. I'm speaking from my personal experience. They've enhanced my life. Some people would say, yeah, they've driven you out of your mind, you nut. But, hey, that's okay.
Well, look, if they exist, and if, let's say, for the sake of argument, that it's an established, absolute scientific fact that they exist and that they are exuding energy, and that it is both measurable and usable.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I think it would be a foregone conclusion that there would be some behavior modification of people living near those lines.
They would be moving near those lines, but not that they would have to, but you would have more people hooking up Tesla devices to their cars and never having to use a traditional fuel source again, and powering their homes and running down to the Radio Shack to figure out how they can tap into this to power their homes and their iPods and their TVs and the things they want to do, and that would be really cool. And we'd get away with that until the energy companies would find some way to bribe the politicians into enforcing a law that would forbid us from doing it unless we go into massive debt to get the devices and the apparatuses. We know how politics works in this world. But the downside is, and this is why I think it is kept, the knowledge, the real knowledge, and the real use of this is kept secret. Part of it is greed, you betcha, greed of power, greed of resources. Part of it might, folks, be, and I know this is not popular with the conspiracy theorists out there, but part of it might be for good reasons. For instance, let's take the current murder case of the day. We got a female butchered, okay, by this homicidal maniac who's now run off AWOL from the military and is God knows where. It's going to be hard enough to find him, you know, down in Mexico, wherever he's at. Imagine if the general public was aware of what we're talking about, and, you know, he was able to run down to Radio Shack, buy his little transformer box or whatever, and he can zip off into any end of the spectrum of reality, into other dimensions.
Kind of like, you know, Doctor Who.
Yeah, kind of like Doctor Who and some of these other characters. Imagine how hard it would be to find him then. Now, that said, and I know this, you'll like this, having been, you know, a former badge carrier and a guy that goes after bad guys, now the idea of being a cop who goes through the dimensions kind of turns me on. So, you know, I would, you know, be like, yeah, I'll go after the guy. But you get my point.
Yeah.
Knowledge of this stuff could be, you know, among the masses, could be nightmarish. I mean, look at the things a lot of folks tend to do with what we have at our disposal already.
Are ley lines specific to Earth, or do they exist on other planets?
I believe they exist on other planets, absolutely, because, you know, we know there are Mascons on the moon, I'm not sure what they'll admit publicly. I'm sure they know they exist on Mars, but, you know, the textbook definition is planets, not just Earth, but planets. It makes sense that they exist, you know, on other celestial bodies as well as the Earth.
Now, these ley lines just run all over the Earth like a system of, like a network of veins.
Yes.
All over the Earth. Are there places where they sort of congregate, where the bunch of them intersect and there's a whole lot of energy?
Well, you have certain key places around the world where, there are more intersections than others. Yes, the example of Disneyland, what we're talking about, is one where there happens to be three of these energy lines intersecting, and this is the biggest intersection in Southern California. There is no other place where that many intersect. And you have, more larger, numerous intersections near the Great Pyramid, I believe, and I will check on that to make sure I'm right, but I believe there's a few there. But that's actually a good question you ask. I'll have to admit that I haven't delved into that yet. The Disneyland book is the first investigation into this phenomenon. We kept it related to Disneyland and a little bit of Southern California, but once we finished the Latitude 33 Disneyland book, Greg and I have discussed and intend to do a larger encompassing book, and I'll be able to have a better answer on that for you at that time.
Does there exist at this time, Walter, a reliable means of detecting the ley lines? And now I want to say I do understand about dowsing and that a lot of people locate ley lines or say that they're locating ley lines through dowsing, and maybe they are. But what about someone who is not a dowser, but he wears a white lab coat? Is there a way for them to detect them?
Well, I'll tell you a guy who does it with maps, topographical maps, and that's Sesheri. And he goes into that in his very important book, which we're trying to get out there. And there's an interesting story about the difficulty we're having getting that book out there, interestingly enough. But in the handprint of Atlas, he lays it out, and he's able, Sesheri, I'll put it to you this way, in the research of this book and anything relating to this, all I have to do is call him, tell him I'm curious about it, I have suspicions about a particular spot or area, and he will look at topographical maps, and he'll come back with a, you know, based on what he knows and his method, he comes back with a yes or no, and then he'll explain to me, here's, you know, why. I will tell you this, I think I might have mentioned this before.
Okay, we have about 20 seconds.
Okay. When we come back, I'll explain that, number one, a very good way anybody can detect these lines or concentrations, and number two, I'll tell you a little bit about how he's sent me out to check out spots, and it's turned out he was right about them.
Okay, fair enough. All right, folks, we're headed off into a break. And when we come back, we will, of course, continue talking with Walter Bosley. And I'll open up the telephone line so that you can call and ask your questions. These things, these ley lines, may be running right under you right now. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download.
Call The Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. My guest this evening, for those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, welcome, by the way, is Walter Bosley. And he's been with us before. This is the guy that talked with us about those holes that were discovered on Mars and that book he wrote years ago when he was still working for the FBI, and he was advised, don't even think about publishing that. Well, he's talking with us tonight about ley lines. And we're talking about this sort of, at this point, I would have to say it's a mysterious energy source that seems to just be all through, around, and over the earth through these lines, these geographical lines. Now, Walter, let's say that I want to go out and check for ley lines, all right? I want to check for this energy. It's one thing to say that these lines exist and that there's energy. It's another thing to be able to measure that energy. Do we have a way to detect and measure that energy?
Well, I think there's more than one way. A more technical-minded person will be able to immediately rattle off some things that you could, you know, literally get from your Radio Shack. That, you know, using kind of like a metal detector, you can just walk in a suspected area until you get a reading. That's one way, and I believe that would have to do with, you know, magnetics, electromagnetic kind of reading devices. But the poor man's way is a way I was introduced to about 2 months ago. I had gone north to San Francisco Bay Area on research for the Disneyland book, because there was Sesheria had identified some lines up there upon which set carousels, just like at Disneyland. And I wanted to go see these sites and photograph them and, you know, learn more about them. And among the carousel sites, one being at Pier 39, the other one in Tilden Park over in the Berkeley area, Sesh said, hey, let's go to some of the other significant spots on the lines. And as I told you, he gets into things topographically, and he suggested we needed to check out the line that goes through the Twin Peaks. Now, that's, for those of you who don't know, Twin Peaks is the highest geophysical, geological point in the Bay Area, I believe. I think I'm correct about that. That's why the big old giant radio tower is on one of the peaks. So we went up there. And I'll be honest with you, my interest was more to see the carousels. This was something I kind of, you know, went along with Sesh on it and said, okay, yeah, whatever, let's go up to the peak. So we went up to the peak that does not have the radio tower on it. And it's not much of a walk up to the top. It's not strenuous in any way. And it was your typical, you know, San Francisco, you know, cold day, heavy fog, you know, at least overcast, but there was fog on top of the mountain. And it was chilly. I had my leather jacket on. And we get up to the top, and there's a USGS marker up there. Now, according to Sesh, the line runs right through. I can't remember exactly how he described it, something about, you know, in between and through the peak, maybe a little bit more to the peak we were on. That's why we went to the top of this one, the Bear Peak. And I got up on the USGS marker, which is a little, I guess, brass circular object that's embedded in like a concrete square slab. And I got up there and I stood there, and within seconds, I noticed my feet were getting warm. And that warmth moved up through my feet, up my legs, just about up to under my knee. And I got to tell you, Kevin, as sure as you're hearing my voice and I'm standing here in my house right now, I felt that heat moving it up my legs. I felt it. It was real. I would do a polygraph on this, in spite of my opinion of polygraph. I would do a polygraph and an affidavit, whatever. So I got down, and I told Sesh, get up there and tell me what you feel. And he got up there, and he felt the same thing. And I got back up, and I had done something actually that Jeff had suggested, and that was stand with my feet together and raise my arms up, form kind of a cross. And I felt the warmth go up the outside of my legs, up the sides of my body, and up under my arms to my palms. And, I mean, it was distinct. And it is, you know me, I've talked about some things on this show, but it is singularly one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever had in my life. I experienced it. It was real. Now, yes, I asked Sesh, what's the chance of that big old giant radio tower over there causing that? He said that it could not be that because the way that tower works, it does not generate, you know, that kind of energy, and it's whatever it does generate or vibrate does not affect the peak we're on.
Is it FM?
Pardon?
Is it an FM antenna?
You know what? I don't know. I'm going to be doing another book associated with what happened in San Francisco after I'm done with the Disneyland book. So mm-hmm. that particular fact, I don't know. But it's that big, giant one that you can see when there's not fog up there.
I'll tell you a story about that in just a moment. I want to go to the phone line first.
Uh-huh.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
I'll try and make this real quick. I come from a ranching background, so I do not hold with a lot of the pseudo-environmental garbage. By that I mean the academics. However, what I'm going to ask you is it possible that the ley lines, the planet is alive, essentially, and the ley lines are its circulatory system?
It's what?
The circulatory system.
Circulatory system.
And that if we truly wish to live in harmony with the Earth, we should learn about these ley lines.
What do you think, Walter?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to explain my yes. I would agree with that. The Earth living as... I personally... don't accept that the planet itself is this sentient being, like, and I'm not saying the caller's saying that, but I'm going to address that because that would naturally come to people's minds. I don't ascribe to the idea that the Earth is this sentient entity that is aware of itself and has an intelligence, but it is alive, you know, in the way that obviously the things that grow on it are. And I think that what the caller's talking about, certainly the Native Americans, that's part and parcel of their philosophy, and other groups around the world, and I think, yes, I think the more you know about these ley lines, the more you know about the natural system of the Earth, and the more you get in tune with it, I believe it's a literal getting in tune with it. Naturally, you're going to expand your own quality of existence. It only makes sense. So yes, I would agree with that.
I mentioned I was going to say something about that tower, and this is somewhat of a tangent, okay? And by that I mean it's not directly applicable to what you were talking about, standing on that marker. Mm-hmm. But it made me think of something that is in a way applicable to ley lines. You know, back when I was a cop on the street and I was in that phase where I was out on patrol and they would assign me to run radar, there was a particular street in our area that was about a mile long and it was absolutely straight. Absolutely a straightaway. Two lanes and no shoulders. Through a residential area, people like to go through there pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so they would send us to run radar on this street and control speed on this street. Very dangerous there. And we all had the problem, all of us who ever got assigned to go out there and run a radar patrol, had a problem with the Ghost Racer. Now, the Ghost Racer was this. There were only about three places in that mile where you could put a patrol car in a position where you could monitor the roadway with a radar. And one of those was a church parking lot. And we had permission from them to use it. They said, yes, please, it's dangerous out there. So we would park in this church parking lot, angle the car as you have to, and then turn on the radar. And you could sit there, and a lot of people don't know how radar works, what does the policeman respond to. He's got a little screen that shows speed, but it also has audio. And he hears the Doppler as you approach and as you pass him, he hears the Doppler effect of you going through the radar. And in order for him to get a conviction in court, he has to be able to testify that he saw you and your car, and that it matched the Doppler effect that he was hearing, and that that was what was being read in the digital speed indicator showing how fast you were going. So those three things have to be there. Which, by the way, folks, is one of the reasons you should always challenge these automated radar things. You know, they're just out there by themselves, and you get a ticket in the mail. You have a right, of course, to challenge and cross-examine your accuser in court. Remember that. All right, now, we would sit there with absolutely no car coming down the street, and it would, all of a sudden, the radar would come on, and it would hit 125 miles an hour. But instead of hearing the Doppler effect of a car passing through the radar, we would hear one of the local radio stations.
Oh.
Now, that's a case where you have one type of transmission getting out of phase and getting over into another frequency, another phase,
mm-hmm.
and interfering with it. And it's really strange because radar is operating at microwave frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
FM radio is not.
Oh.
Now, the reason I brought that up is because I mentioned earlier, if there is energy actually coursing through these ley lines, it would be inconceivable to me that it has no effect on us. And as things happen in and around the Earth, I think it is conceivable that that sort of phase shift could happen with ley lines and could have a strange effect on us. So that it's like the cop sitting in the car watching the radar, and his reality says there's a car at 125 miles an hour coming down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think it could be a reality shift for a lot of folks if they're around a ley line when there's a sort of an energy surge or something gets out of phase. Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Yes, Gary.
Good evening, Walter.
Hello, Gary.
I'd like to ask a question. Are there any known, are there any maps of known ley lines that are on the net that are that we could look up?
Not that I'm aware of that that I have or would use. I'm actually being, I've researched it a little bit. And I'm actually getting much better results with going to folks like Sesh Hari, who really have provided me. I got to tell you, without going into it too much, Hari has pointed some things out to me that are amazing, and he's never really sent me anywhere that there wasn't something accurate about his readings. And when I say that, we find we find either the exact geophysical features that he's talking about, and I want to say too that he's tested that too. He'll tell us to go to a spot. He'll tell me to go to a spot. I'll go there. I'll be looking at a physical feature, and then he'll ask me, "Is there such and such there like this, and I'll be looking right at it. Now, that's to test. But as far as something you could log on and find that somebody else has produced, I'm not aware of it. That doesn't mean it's not out there.
Well, I was particularly interested with the work. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Bruce Coronet.
I the name is familiar. I'm not overly familiar with his work.
He is the one that he's a geologist and is the one that has done a lot of work of research about the face on Mars.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Coronet also has done a lot of extensive work, and I'm from New York, in the Hudson River Valley, when they were experiencing a lot of UFO sightings,
yes,
particularly in Pine Bush, New York,
mm-hmm.
he came across many, many magnetic anomalies, and I truly believe these were ley lines
mm-hmm.
that he's run across.
Well, it would. This is in the Hudson River Valley, correct?
Yes.
Well, I would agree that that's what's there, because waterways have a lot to do with many of these landfills we're talking about. Rivers run along them. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, on a particular contract day job I had to spend a lot of time back east in the fall of 2001. And I was working in the D.C. area, and I had never been to this particular park. We were on a lunch break, and it was Glen Echo Park in Maryland. And it's an old park. It's an old Chautauqua ground, and it's right there along the river. I believe I'm doing a brain dump on the name of the river. I guess it's the Potomac where it comes up past Georgetown and stuff and continues, unless I'm getting it wrong. Pardon me if I am. But it's right there on a river, and that is one of these landfold lines that I'm talking about, one of these, that we're calling a ley line for convenience sake. And, it follows the line of that river. And, by the way, there is a carousel that's been sitting there for many decades right there on that line. I would say that I have no doubt that if I were to call Sesh tonight and say, hey, tell me about the Hudson River Valley, he would pull out his maps and look at it, and he would be able to identify, yeah, this particular landfold starts here, it goes through there, and ends up at such and such point. I would definitely, if you're back there and you want to go looking for what we're talking about, start poking around in the Hudson Valley.
All right, Gary, thank you for the call. Interesting. The deal with the carousels is kind of intriguing. It would, first, I really don't get it about why a carousel. But secondly, I will say someone or some group of people seem to get it, because these carousels are all over the place, sitting right on ley lines and ley line intersections.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal?
Well, I'll direct you to the literature of Joseph Farrell and Nick Cook and Igor Kwiatkowski. And I think a lot of your listeners probably know what they have in common, and that is the bell.
Okay.
The bell was the device that the Germans were working on as far back as the early 30s, late 20s actually, if you count Victor Schauberger. The spinning device that rotated. Joseph Farrell and his SS Brotherhood of the Bell can describe it a heck of a lot better than I can, as can Kwiatkowski and Nick Cook. And but basically it applies that particular spinning device to physical reality. And our theory in our Disneyland book, and the evidence is seeming to support it, is that somebody has been placing these carousels, a spinning device, on ley lines, and more significantly, as in the case of Disneyland, on the intersections of ley lines. And what that does is the spinning action, very simply explained, the spinning action, amplifies, as you used earlier, amplifies the energy stored or coursing through that particular intersection. It amplifies it. It sends it just shooting out, and it has its various desired effects and results.
Let's go back to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening.
And good evening to your guest.
Oh, hello.
Good to hear you again.
Yes, I seem to, I think you've called in the past. Nice to hear you again, too.
Yeah, my question is, sir, does the power fluctuate during the seasons or something? Or does it stay steady all the time pretty well?
Does the power fluctuate, and what was the last part of that?
During the seasons, or does it stay steady?
That's a very good question. I like that question. Off the top of my head, I would say that it stays steady. But then, you know, when I think about, you know, the change of seasons, this phenomenon of the change of seasons, and you know, the tilt of the earth and all that causes it, that is a very good angle to delve into, which we haven't yet. That's definitely something, you know, that's a little farther down the road than we are with the Disneyland book. But it would be interesting to know if the energy core stronger, say, you know, during the season that you plant, and then, you know, it's natural that, what is it, like two seasons later that you harvest. You know, perhaps these are the strength points. You know, you want the strong core when everything comes back to life, you know, and the times when you got a plant and then you give it time, and then when that energy pops back up to a higher level, maybe that's what it, you know, accelerates. I don't know. That's a very good question.
Thank you. And would you please tell me the title of the book again?
The title of the book is Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. We have a publisher that they've asked us just to make some final revisions on it. We're in the process of finishing those, and I'll be able to give a release date hopefully fairly soon here in the next month or so.
Well, I'll stay tuned to Kevin's show to get the info. Thank you very much. Very good show, Kevin. Thank you again.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It's toll-free throughout North America. So it doesn't matter what state you live in, doesn't matter if you're in Canada, it's toll-free. If you're outside of North America, you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. If you can't remember that, it's easy to send a flash message. You just go over to my website, scroll down, and under the blurb about tonight's show, there's a link that says, amazingly, flash message. All right? And you can click that, and it'll address it for you, all right? All right, now, the deal with the carousels.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it would have the desired effect. What would the desired effect be?
Well, we believe, Greg Bishop and I, the authors of this book, we believe that the desired effect in the case of Disneyland, for example, was to... Now, remember, Disneyland sits in a bowl. There's a berm that surrounds it. And they dug out a big bowl out of the earth. And, excuse me... the way that where the carousel was originally positioned, which, by the way, another aspect of this is the carousel has been moved, and we believe the device has been disengaged. But when it was engaged, with the carousel on the spot on the actual intersection of those lines, the carousel spinning would boost and be the amplifier, the amplification device that would cause the energy from that intersection to course throughout the park, and it would be stored, we believe, in the berm. And what that would do is the storage of that would kind of cause it to, you know, well up, and therefore kind of create a field, a force field, you know, to use a sci-fi term, that we believe was designed to contribute to the whole experience of being there. In other words, to truly make it the Magic Kingdom. Now, you know, those of us who grew up going to the place recall that you know, and you can read the descriptions. People talk about going to Disneyland, and it was like being in another world. You forgot that there was Anaheim out. You forgot that there was anything outside during the hours you were in the park. And you just got lost. And not just when you're a five-year-old kid. I mean, you know, I had this feeling when I was, you know, 17, 18 years old going there. It's still, you know, just did that. And we believe that that was the desired result of whoever designed the park in this way and put it there. Now,
which, of course, contributes to the sort of a free-spending attitude of the people who are there, and that contributes to the bottom line. That's smart business. All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we will continue talking with Walter Bosley, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-289-1092. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. My guest is Walter Bosley, and we're talking about ley lines. Now, they're spelled L-E-Y, ley lines. And these are energy lines. Some people say it's all a product of very active New Age imagination. Some people say it's very, very real. And I would say that the fact that you have these engineers from SRI and you have this aerospace engineer, what was his name?
C.V. Wood.
C.V. Wood, who spent lots of Mr. Disney's money to locate the place and built a carousel on it. And then carousels are built all over, I guess all over the world, but certainly all over the United States, sitting on ley lines. It would seem that at least some people in the scientific community think that it is real and that there is a way to tap into that energy for producing certain beneficial effects. So, Walter, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the possible effects that go beyond making me happy to be at Disneyland. Let's talk about the possible uses of the ley lines and their energy for higher technology. And, yes, I do understand about the possibility that we would have free energy for powering homes and automobiles and things like that. But what else is there that it could be used for?
It's an interesting phenomenon that, and Sesheri has pointed this out to me. It appears, according to his research, and again, he talks about this in his book, The Handprint of Atlas, extensively, but it appears, and he demonstrates this all the time to us, that somebody knows about these lines because railroads, our railroad lines are built a great deal alongside these things. You can follow these lines and see, you know how we talk about the ancient ley lines, you could find sacred places and temples and such along them?
Yep.
What's kind of funny, in our modern times, you follow these lines, if you know how to identify them, and you see things like railroad lines, radio stations, hospitals, airports, military bases, you begin to see a definite pattern in the civil engineering, at least in the United States, and I believe he's pointed it out, you know, around the world, but definitely he's pointed it out to me in the U.S., and it's uncanny. It's one of those things where, you know, he shows it to you topographically first, and then you move to the other kind of map that shows our grid, our infrastructure, or whatever, and highways are another thing. You know, he shows where these things, for instance, two of these lines that intersect at Disneyland kind of swoop out and come through the Inland Empire. Now, these two lines go through Riverside, but they bypass San Bernardino. What's interesting is on one of them, Highway 15, which a lot of people are familiar with out west here. You can follow it from Las Vegas all the way to San Diego. But one of these two lines that come out of Disneyland swoop down around back south and pretty much follows the course, or I should say Highway 15 has been built, and it pretty much follows the course of this line for several miles. What's interesting is this line goes down, cuts through, and goes right through the hospital where I was born. So that's why I like to say I got a personal connection to these lines. It's very interesting that on that level, you know, transportation, communication, hospitals. Now, someone would say, why hospitals? We use a lot of technology in our hospitals, but think about it. Maybe somebody knows that something to do with these lines have healing properties. And with that, I need to tell you my personal experience with that.
Uh-huh.
Do we have time, or do you
yeah.
take another? Okay. I went to South America, specifically Peru, Bolivia, with World Explorers Club. And I got the altitude ick, you know, the lower stomach yuck and the altitude headache, and I just felt like crap, you know, in the early part of this trip. And by the time we got to Ollantaytambo, which is our stay in between Cusco and Machu Picchu, we were going to stay there for a night, and we were going to go up to the ancient ruin there. I was feeling awful, and I almost didn't want to go up to the ancient city on that particular day, which is, you know, supposedly built upon a heavy intense crystals in the mountain there. And, but, you know, at the last minute I thought, you know, I'm paying a lot of money for this trip. I'm going to see everything. So as crappy as I felt, I went up the hill. Now, by the time we got up to the hill, top of the hill, no headache, no lower stomach. I felt fine. Not only did I feel fine, I felt great. The whole time we were up there, I felt wonderful. I really did. And I noticed it. And I wasn't the only one. There were a few others that said, wow, my headache went away. Wow, came back down the mountain, and it came back to a degree, but never as bad as it was. And for the rest of the trip, I was pretty much, you know, I got better. I was fine for the rest of the trip. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. That's an interesting phenomena that I experienced, whatever it was. I even thought, well, did it have to do with just the physical act of, you know, the walking up the hill, and you get your body going, and duh, Walter, you know, you get your body going, exercise is good for you, right? But, you know, still, it was interesting. Well, that happened to me again about a month ago. In fact, it was just a few days before Christmas. Uh-huh. I had been suffering with a terrible neck ache and back ache and an awful headache for about 3 days in a row. And a little area came up in the research that I had to go check out over in the area where I live, and it was a mountain. And in fact, it was an area that Greg and the guys at Weird California had actually written about. So I thought, well, this is interesting because the line runs right by there. So I just got it in my head the Saturday before Christmas, I'm going to go take the little hike up to the top of this small mountain, and there's a tower up there built in 1937. And so feeling like crap and very stiff, I went, did the little mile and three-quarter walk. It's a real wide path, and it's real, you know, it's not a steep path. And, you know, about 35 minutes later, I got up there to where the tower was, and looking around, I happened to turn to look, and I noticed, my gosh, I have full range motion in my neck, which I hadn't had for 3 days. And then I realized, I do not feel any pain. The pain is gone. No headache, no muscle pain. Now, when I started at the bottom of that mountain, I had a stiff neck and shoulder that I could not turn. You know, some people say I probably shouldn't have been out driving, but, you know, I did not have anywhere near. I had about maybe 25% range motion. Okay, if I needed to turn to look left, I had to turn my body. Okay.
But when you got to the top, you felt good.
I get up to the top, I'm fine. Pain gone.
All right, look, let's go to the phone line. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Hello, Dick from Lebanon. How are you this evening?
Just fine. I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
Okay, how common is it to be in a vortex and also have the ley lines right with it? Is that very common?
Basically, yes, it's something that, and the reason I'm stammering is because I'm trying to provide you with the support for my yes. I've discussed this with, you know, the other guys that research this with me, and I've seen the sources identify, you know, vortices and vortice areas where these lines come through, and particularly where there are intersections. And of course, Sacherie has also, you know, pointed that out. I would say enough so that if you know of a vortex area, I would definitely look for the lines there, and vice versa. If you know that, you know, there's a ley line, one of these energy lines, or you've heard there's one of these energy lines, you know, do a little research in your area, wherever this is, and see if also there's something to do with the vortices. And based on what I know just in the research from this book and stuff, I would say that it's a good bet where there's one, you have a chance of finding the other. It makes sense.
Wow. Well, we do live in a vortex, and we have the ley lines here in Lebanon, Indiana. I had to do some extensive research, but by golly, we did the research, and this is a vortex, and the energy is just you can't I can't even tell you what the difference is by going from this city to say a city like Indianapolis. I mean, it's totally different.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring up a very interesting phenomenon that it makes sense to me now. But all my life, I have had a strong attraction, psycho-emotional attraction, to San Diego. Anybody who knows me will tell you, oh God, the guy loves San Diego. Yes, I was born there, but we moved right after I was born, a month after I was born, and I never lived there again until I went to college at San Diego State. And I've always wanted and tried to get back there, because when I go there, I feel centered. I feel complete. I feel happy and in tune with everything I'm supposed to be in tune with. And I've traditionally had the opposite reaction to Los Angeles, which, you know, to me just is the antithesis to, you know, the reality I want to live in.
All right. We have to take a break. Dick, thank you so much for the call. And, folks, we'll take your calls, your questions, your comments for our guest, Walter Bosley, at 1-800-289-1092 on the other side of this break.
Into the light, we took the path gateway of the sun. With our love, we soared among the clouds. We had just begun a night in Machu Picchu.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back. My guest this evening, Walter Bosley, and we're talking with him about this very mysterious phenomena called ley lines. Walter, I've got to ask you a question now that sure. This one might just sort of broadside you.
Okay.
All right. I'll warn you. All right. After that first show, this is just the way my mind works. I read news constantly on all kinds of sites.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the science sites that I read said that they have now discovered how the aurora borealis actually happens. Is that the energy travels from the sun to us on these bands of gravity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these gravity bands. And you said that ley lines are basically gravity bands.
Mm-hmm.
So that would indicate the possibility, at least, that ley lines are not just on the planets, but exist almost like a spider web that just holds space together.
Well, that sounds familiar with the string theory of some years ago that, binds everything together in a web, so I kind of like that idea. As a matter of fact, if you recall, I don't know if I told you, but in the novel, the novel I was told not to publish, that's how the flying saucer travels from the Integratron and landers to Mars. And he describes it in the novel that because the string theory was popular back then, but what it was a line of this magnetic power that they just travel upon, like it's the current that they use. And that's interesting. You just you read that recently, like a year ago or whenever it was.
I read that about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, yeah. Yeah.
But see, the way my mind works is you can tell me something 10 years ago, and if an article comes up that seems to confirm or corroborate it, I remember what you said, and I put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
They say that the aurora borealis doesn't just sort of float in here from the sun. It actually travels along these bands, mm-hmm. and they described it almost as like if you stretch a rubber band from Earth mm-hmm. to the sun, and along that rubber band the energy comes that creates in our atmosphere mm-hmm. what we call the aurora borealis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is that band? Well, they say that it's a band, it's a gravity band.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that's the case, and we have these gravity bands coming to the Earth from the sun, I think it would be not a great stretch of the imagination to say that there are probably gravity bands coming to the Earth connecting us with everything else that has any kind of gravitational pull or connection to the Earth.
It makes sense, and it makes sense of, something I was told years ago that in one of those midnight conversations that there's another star out there, another civilization, that their star is used to keep ours alive and to basically maintain the habitable atmosphere on the planet. Maybe that's a subject for a topic for another show sometime, but that was part of that book I wrote. That was part of some stuff, that I was told a little bit more of in the late 90s, and what you're talking about makes perfect sense. And before we go, remind me, there's something I'd like to say to people about looking for these ley lines before we get out of here.
Well, let's go ahead and do that because we're just a few minutes away from the end of the show.
I want to say this. In our era of this new age market and all these interests and stuff, everything, you know, and I'm not against this. I'm a positive guy. I'm an optimist and everything. But we got to be realistic about this stuff. These days, all the extraterrestrials are our friends. All, you know, anything we encounter from the other dimension is here to, you know, get us in tune with our inner selves and love, love, love. And everything's about, you know, anything human is to be trampled and insulted, and we're not worthy, we're not worthy. But anything from the other side and the beyond, the great beyond, is here for our great advancement. That's a crock of crap. I will tell you that I told you a story about going to the top of a hill over here next to one of these lines where my pain went away. What I didn't tell you was I very much believe that the pain, whatever it was caused by my visit to another spot connected with these lines a few days before that. That is not a positive place. That is, from all my research, appears to be a negative place. Now, it's basic magnetics. You got positive, you got negative. Now, when I say negative, maybe it's not negative in that good versus evil sense. Maybe it's just negative in that the positive places have healing qualities and expand our consciousness and everything's great. The negative places would obviously, you know, potentially do the opposite. But that's not to say that there isn't, you know, there's light and there's dark, there is good and there is evil. There's places you won't go in town, in your own town, because somebody might stick a knife in you, knock you over the head, rape you, or shoot you. Well, think about it when you're going out to these vortex places and looking for these ley line intersections. If you're there, and if anything of what we're talking about has any validity, then some of these places, there's things there that maybe don't want you there, maybe don't like you. And I'm not talking about just ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, ancient stories, ancient legends that the modern mind sort of poo-poos talk about places that are, you know, like forbidden forests and things mm-hmm. like that, places where evil dwells. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then modern people, modern minds laugh at that. But if what they're referring to has to do with these energies, it seems entirely plausible that, yes, you know, there's a positive and a negative to every power.
Yes, and you have to be aware that if you find a particular vortex or an intersection, you may not know what it's attracting. It could be attracting the negative, or it could be expelling the negative, or vice versa. And sometimes you don't know until you get there. But there, you know, possibly could be ways to, you know, identify by what has been there, put there by humankind throughout time.
So what do you think, quickly, because we've only got 1 minute, what do you think about Stonehenge? Is that positive or negative?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell. My first guess would be positive because we don't know of any really horrible, drastic, bad things that, you know, happen to people there that I'm aware of. So I would guess it's positive. But it might not be positive nor negative. It might not even be on a nodal point. It might just be kind of a conduit, you know, just a passing, you know, an enhancer mm-hmm. along the way of the course.
Cool. Walter, it's been interesting. And, I mean, this is something we don't hear a lot about. We hear a lot about UFOs, and we hear a lot about Mars, and we hear a lot about ETs, but we don't hear a great deal about ley lines. So I'm very interested in your book, and when do you anticipate that it may be out?
We, like I said, we are in the process of just wrapping up, you know, just one more chapter revision, and the publisher who is interested is going to, you know, take its last look, and they're ready to give us the contract. We just need to make the revisions they recommended to fit their audience better, and I'm guessing, my guess, based on when we'll be done with it, I'll be able to announce the due date probably in another month, and it would definitely be probably sometime halfway through or later into the year, you know, maybe late summer, early fall.
All right.
Walter, stay on the phone with me, if you will. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say that I wish we had more time, but we don't. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Be sure you're here tomorrow night. You've heard all those stories about how Jackie Gleason knew a lot about UFOs. We're going to be talking with a guy who has firsthand knowledge of Jackie Gleason's knowledge about those UFOs. Until tomorrow. So long, everybody.